Another quiet Wednesday in Culmore. Until the bomb went off. Fortunately, it exploded as army bomb experts were making it safe, and no one was hurt. But as Superintendent Gordon McCalman says, it could easily have been a darker day.
As a community, we should be thankful that we're not standing here this evening talking about the death or serious injury of someone. Shortly after 9:30 this morning, we were made aware of a suspect device at the home of one of my colleagues in Ardnalee off the Culmore Road in the city here. My colleague is someone who gets out of his bed every morning and goes to work with the sole aim of ensuring the safety of the community and working to prevent harm in the community. That is in sharp contrast to the individuals who left a viable explosive device in a residential area with kids and families. The dangers don't need to be explained in depth.
Around 12 families were evacuated, and by evening, one father who was put out of his home was trying to get his children ready for the next school day.
Just not trying to get in through the back door over the one of the neighbour's fence, so the fact that we can get in and get our clothes and stuff in the morning and we in uniforms, like. So it's a bit of a hindrance, like. And apparently we've been told now it's lunchtime tomorrow.
Were you evacuated earlier this morning?
My wee boy was at work. They came in the house and just asked him to leave because there was a suspect device.
How did it make you feel when you heard that your son was being evacuated from the house?
I thought it was just one of those ones. It's just a scare more than anything. I don't think it was actually a bomb. Like, and the man loves fist nuts, like, about 20 feet away. So they could have mixed up between their left and their right, coming outside my house.
What if was a question on the minds of many people in the area.
It is a bit shocking and it's a bit scary as well. I would have one grandchild, yes, but there is a lot of small children around here. And especially over around where this happened, there is a lot of children.
It was really terrible. This is a lovely, quiet area. Nobody bothers anybody. And you know, everybody has a right to survive. And it was the fact that it was the time children would be going to school. You know, it's just horrendous. You know, it sort of puts you back to the 70s whenever the troubles were on. And, you know, there's no need for that at all.
Well, I came home today from my work and I work in an integrated school and I think it's really, really sad in this day and age that this is still going on. My first feelings were I really feel for that family who are probably living, constantly looking over the shoulders and, you know, worrying about what's going on and what's happening. And I think it's terrible that this happened down the road for me, that my family, who I've been bringing up as best as I can to respect everybody, no matter what their religion or culture or background, that they have witnessed this outside our front door.
I've come from Dungannon. I drove past yesterday morning, saw it, didn't have my camera or phone with me, so I come back today to take it to send it to my grandchildren.
Where? Well, the farmer.
Oh,
they built it.
Did you do that?
Yes, I built it. We'll see hours at it.
It is
set
brilliant.
It
is brilliant.
So in the vein with the artist, 9 Tony Conway.
You'll now need a lay-by in there to do it next year and do two baby bears along with it, or the three baby bears.
Well, that's what we were thinking. Goldilocks and the three bears for next
year. Exactly. We'll do very well. And this lady could do Goldilocks.
Picnic time for kids.
It's just beautiful. It's really lovely. And I knew the boys would love to see it, you know, so they loved it.
And what's the first impressions?
They just, what do you think, guys?
Good. And I'm good.
And then you have the big black button nose.
Yeah. I like it smile.
You've come 30 miles to see our huge teddy bear here.
Yes.
Why is he such a big attraction?
Just thought it'd be good for the family to see it and the kids to see it.
And what are they making of him?
Loving it.
It's my favourite animal.
Teddy bear is your favourite animal?
Because I have a room full of them.
What do you think of this boy here?
He's the bestest out of all of them. Just the biggest teddy.
He is big. And what's your favourite thing about him? His nose, I like his paws.
I like his happy face.
Tony Conway, you're not farming, you're building huge 12-foot teddy bears.
That's probably the first one I've ever built. Like.
The first one, and you've done a very good job, I have to say.
That's what materialised out of it through his idea.
This is John Gallagher. Yes. John, you're another farmer. You own the land.
Yeah, well, we own this land here, and but it was Shaunine Kilpatrick who should take a lot of credit for this, for it was her idea and her creation.
What has the reaction been like so far?
It is crazy.
Talk me through how you built it.
We set these two BLT at the back of it, like this here, look. They got there just. We set this bale here and set the on bale on top of it. And then we tied the square bales till it really got there, like with the paws. And we painted the front, the eyes, on the ears, two bales up on the very top.
What are the eyes made of?
The eyes is made out of plastic. Them was blue plastic dishes they got them at some pound shop. And we painted them black and put a hole in them. And they were pushed in with a bar into the bale. They see the wee bend of the bar. The eyes was black and the buttons was blue. And the rest is just a can of spray paint.
Was it hard work?
No.
موطني موطني
اسمي شا محمد نور السيرية
والجمال والسناء والبهاء في رباك في رباك والحياة والنجاة والهناء والرجاء في هواك في هواك هل أراك
هي عن الوطن يعني
سنايران شا تفار أنتريا اي كانت لاشن تشير لانا هير غوخش هين فاكن شي انتشير في ورون في أنسي أنسكرس أغس أنتلاد أغس في فرين شي دانتريا Cahur a eki me hu a rash in mar duchlanche. Cahur a eki me mingairi na boasti. Cahur a eki me an grian igiri. Ta si ar lurg iwa a hir guachas hien. Sol a roan cogu on.
Del ma'na e dian.
Mowtini الشباب لن يكل همه أن تستقل أو يبي
I think his legacy will be bringing peace to Ireland and playing his part in reunifying the country. And we all know about the circumstances in which he was involved in the IRA, like many other young people from that time and later time. So, and he's explained that, and I think everybody respects that position.
And it's that transition from IRA leader to peacemaker that earns this kind of welcome. He says he's not retiring and will work for Sinn Féin till the day he dies, but told his supporters why his name will never again be on the ballot sheet.
At the end of the day, I had to make a decision and I had to be honest with myself. And the question I had to ask myself, was I physically able or capable of fighting an intensive 5-6 week election in the current state that I'm in? And the answer to that was no. So the only fair thing to do, which I have done today, was to make it clear that I won't, unfortunately, even though it breaks my heart.
Few could have foreseen this political journey, from armed struggle on the rubbled streets of the Bogside to toasting the Queen in the gilded halls of Windsor Castle. But for McGuinness, all roads lead home.
I'll always be very proud to be from the Bogside. I've ended up in many famous places throughout the world. The White House on countless occasions, the Oval Office on 3 occasions, with 3 American presidents and with prime ministers and presidents all over the place. But my heart lies in the Bogside and with the people there.
Years he's been more of an example than maybe we realised, and after what we all came through and to be where we are now, and I suppose living in hope for the future, it's very sad that he's died.
Did you know him personally?
No, just
it still brought a tear to your eye.
Oh, it would. I think we're all affected by it.
It would bring a tear to you. You read some of the people there and maybe not all of the same views as me, and that's great to see. You know, I also work with people from the Loyalist Unions community, and I've had phone calls from some of those this morning, you know, giving their sympathy and asked me to pass it on their behalf to Martin's wife, Bernie, his family, you know. So, you know, that was never heard tell of, like, and these people come from around the Ballymena and Antrim area, very, very, very aware of what Martin has done and what he has brought, regardless of past or anything else. I mean, everybody has a past. Not about the past, it's about the future.
He made that transition from the IRA to peacemaker and had a key role in the peace process. Can you accept that, whatever his past is?
No. No, I can't, because I just feel that I don't know how he could have come to terms with the things that he did.
Some will say that he brought the IRA to the table, that he took the guns out of paramilitaries, out the Republican paramilitaries.
But did he ever show any remorse for what he did?
Do you forgive him? Can you ever forgive him?
No, there's no forgiveness in my heart. I had to learn to find a way to look after my family. And they've all turned out rather well. And I've got 5 grandchildren, and it's great and all the rest of it. But it's 5 grandchildren that Patsy should have been here to be with, because he would have just, he would have just idolised that.
Does today bring all that back, that you've lost so much?
Well, today isn't... No, I wouldn't let Martin McGuinness have that power over me, that his death is going to make me feel any different or any worse or any better. I don't feel any better because Martin McGuinness is dead. I feel sad for his wife. If she loved him as much as I loved Patsy, then I give her my condolences because I know what she's missing.
You're very emotional, Kathleen. When you look back at 26 years, what have you lost?
Patsy was a great family man, but I loved him. He was my husband. He was the father of our children. And they missed out. And the day that my daughter was getting married and her daddy should have been there to walk her down the aisle, he wasn't there. But her daddy should have been there, and he wasn't.
Do you miss him to this day?
God, I miss him every day. And I talk about him all the time. I met Patsy when I was 16. And because of the way he died, I didn't even get to say goodbye to him. You know, he was gone. One minute he was there, they took him out, and that's the last I saw him. And the last words he said to me was, "Don't worry, girl, I'll be all right." It's just like living without a part of you.
Oft have I roved by Bonnie Doon to see the rose and woodbine twine, and ilk a bird sang its love.
Eileen, you did so well. It really is beautiful and so
Thank
effortless.
You.
Abby, back to you. What about a wee piece of work here? What have you chosen?
I've chosen a Robbie Burns poem. Mm-hmm. Following on from what we were talking about, is called Welcome to an Illegitimate Child. And he's addressing, well, this poem has had many titles, it seems, over the years. We all know what the original was, yeah? Now, in this, he's welcoming his new daughter, and she's born of illegitimate wedlock, scandalous. And I love it. I love the rebellion in this. So we'll go ahead and read it.
Your turn, yeah.
Great. Welcome to an illegitimate child. Thou's welcome, Wayne. Meshanter fa me if thoughts of thee or yet thy mammy shall ever daunten me or awe me, my sweet wee lady. Or if I blush when thou shalt ca' me Tita or Daddy. What though they ca' me fornicator and tease my nim and kintra clatter, the mair they talk, I'm kint the better, e'en let them clash, an auld wife tongue's a feckless matter to gien fash. Welcome, my bony, sweet wee doctor. Though ye come here a wee unsocked for, and though your coming I have fought for both kirk and choir, yet by my faith you're no unrocked for, that I shall swear.
Mr. Wilson, there is civil war going on within your party. Do you still have faith in the party leader?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's not civil war. Well,
two senior politicians at odds with what each other are saying.
Well, let's get a definition of civil war first of all. Civil war would mean that there's two major factions fighting with each other.
And is that not the case?
No, it's not. You've got one individual who is trying to cover his own back for his own incompetence at odds with the party leader. That's not civil war. That's simply an individual trying to cover his own tracks.
We've never seen the like of this, though, within your party. This is uncharted territory. Pretty explosive claims coming from both last night. Who do you believe?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's always been, in fact, you've reported many times on differences between members in the party.
But I'll tell
you
what
I believe. And I believe, I judge this, I'm some distance from it all because I'm not in the executive anymore, but I judge it from my own experience as a minister. And the one person I don't believe in all of this is Johnny Bell. And I don't believe it for a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, he makes fantastical claims that somehow or other special advisers are able to tell a minister what to do.
He says he can back that up with a paper trail.
Well, he did. See if he's going to back it up. I'd have thought he'd have backed it up last night rather than simply make the allegation. The one thing I do know is an advisor is a party employee. An advisor is there to advise a minister, and a minister makes the decisions at the end of the day. Mm. A permanent secretary.
He has said that senior civil servants are prepared to back him up. They're prepared to go on the record. That's not such a fantastic claim if you've got someone else who's going to back you up.
Well, it is a fantastic claim if you haven't actually backed that claim up. It's just hearsay.
Why do they not care about the football pitch? Somebody tell me. I'm so angry about the condition of the pitch. So angry. Because we want to play. We want to entertain. The Galway supporters were deprived of better football. I'm not saying it stopped us. Well, it did stop us from winning. Yes, I will say that. It stopped us from winning the game.
Just going back to your goalkeeper, do you feel he was fortunate to stay on the pitch following that
incident? Not at all. Not at all. Hold on a minute. Just stop there a second. Ben! Ben! Come here, Ben. Ben, come here. Come on, bring your towel with you. Arm it enough, come here. Fortunate to stay in the pitch? Take a look at that. Fortunate to stay in the pitch? Oh, come on, lads. Hey, arm it enough, got an elbow in the head?
But as a standalone incident, I mean, we spoke to Jared, he said himself, yeah, if it happened at the other end, you know, he might
have
looked
at it differently. Yeah, we'd be angry, yeah. I'm sorry for being angry here, but you wouldn't believe that. You've seen it yourselves out in the pitch, and lucky to stay in the pitch. I would say there was two players at least of their team that was lucky to stay in the pitch.
Radio Foyle is unique. It's the only BBC base on what is set to become the new frontier between the EU and the UK. Now, that sounds dramatic, but it is the case. And no one will be affected more so than our listeners by Brexit. And so here we are. We want to reflect your hopes and fears. We want to put our listeners' questions to the experts right here in Brussels, in Dublin, and everywhere in between. Therese, it's questions like these that we want answers to.
My garden is in the Republic, but the actual border itself is a river, along this part of the thing, and that river is at the bottom of my garden. So I do live in the Republic, meaning that every time I went, say, into Derry to meet friends or something or shop, you know, I was going to be stopped, I'd be stopped on the way back, and maybe whatever I buy there, you know, am I going to have to declare, I'm going to have to show somebody, you know, it is going to be an awkward situation, you know.
Are we going to have to pay two taxes?
Are we going to have to pay a tax where we're working and then a tax then over the border where we're living, as it's going to be two completely separate states again?
We don't know how it's going to affect house prices. We don't know how it's going to affect food prices, because we're very closely linked to dairy. And there's a whole host of concerns that we don't know about. I don't know about cross-border healthcare. Is that going to be affected? Because at the moment, we have neighbours here. If there's a bad accident here, rather than go to Letterkenny, they go into Eltingalvin. If it's very serious, they automatically go to Eltingalvin. Is that going to continue, or is that not going to continue? There's great cooperation now between the PSNI and the Guards. Is that going to continue?
I work in the north, and therefore, because I pay my tax and insurance in the north, I get my health care in the north. However, how's that going to work now if the north is not part of the EU and the south is? Am I still going to get my health care there, or am I not?
I remember once upon a time you couldn't carry meat over. So what does the border become? Does it prevent that fluidity between the two, whereas many people don't see it as two and they see it as one? I think that's quite important as well. That's not taken on board at the minute. What are we telling our children? Where do they live?
Time for this week's session, and a duo who I've wanted to get in for a session for quite some time. They formed almost exactly 2 years ago, and since then the reaction to their music has been phenomenal. They've been played on Radio 1 by Phil Taggart and Hugh Stevens, and they play live at some of the key festivals all over the world, from Other Voices in Dingle to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and everywhere they go the response is incredible, and rightly so. Tomorrow night they play the Delacroix here in Derry, but before they do that, they join us now live in session for Electric Mainline, Saint Sister.
Time in politics as well, and I have always acted with integrity.
But Jerry, isn't the bottom line, because other candidates who want to speak about many things, this is a very important issue for East Derry.
Yes.
Isn't the fact that John Dalat brings, I mean, the man has come out of retirement, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Isn't it the fact that his, I'm reading all about his skill set, they've brought a grandee in because they feel, well, they just feel that you're not strong enough, Jerry.
That's fine, that's the decision the party have to make. But I mean, ultimately, it'll be the people on the doors, Mark, who make a decision. Who they think's the best person. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the party didn't give the electorate in East Derry the opportunity to pick who they thought was the best candidate.
And if your first preference is deny John Dalat an Assembly seat, will you be happy about that?
I'll take the result as it comes.
As an SDLP man for how many years?
I have worked for SDLP for 16 years, Mark. And I have walked the streets, and I have worked tirelessly for the SDLP when Colm Eastwood was still in nappies, and canvassed the doors and done everything in my power that I could to support the party. It's unfortunate now that they have decided that I am not satisfactory, as Breach Rogers put it. Even though I was satisfactory 8 months ago.
I do want to move on. John, that's unfortunate. Just in a word, would you shake his hand?
Of course, I have no problems.
But the hand is reached, the hand is shook.
No problem.
I mean, this stuff matters, you know. People talk about, you know, meaningless symbols, Chuckle Brothers and all the rest. Symbolism is important, so you're happy to
play the game. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's move on. Cahill.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you had a very heartfelt, genuine and poignant minute's applause as red and white balloons now are released high into the sky by the scores of City Cubs who made their way out onto the pitch pre-match, along with members of the McBride family, and down to our left as well, a very poignant sight, because members of the Derry City under 17 and under 19 squads in their red tracksuit tops formed the figure five out on the pitch as well. There's been a palpable sense of sorrow and grief around the ground from the moment we arrived this evening, but a determination to get on with it. And I suppose, Liam, that is the big question. How will Derry's players cope this evening, or for that matter, for the rest of the season, as we're ready for kick-off now, just moments away?
Well, that's the big question, Eric. Hopefully it'll inspire them and spur them on the greater and better things, you know, because it's not going to be easy trying to get over it, because there's a lot of, apart from teammates, there's a lot of good friends there, and, you know, you're just hoping that the young players now can use their inexperience, so to speak, and not let it affect them as much as it should.
Yes, losing their friend, a teammate, a captain, is a tragedy no team should ever have to deal with.
Now, something a wee bit special. Anytime I've had the pleasure of these guys' company, it's just totally unusual, and there's nobody really does anything quite like them. One of the big draws in the town, all the way from my home county. Although there's a Kiwi in the thick of them, the Armagh Rhymers. We'll get a word in a second, but here they are.
Open the door and let us in. We hope your favour, we shall win. The door's on the latch, the turf burns red. Turn o' the lamp and go to bed. For on this night, them's that's away will be back again out of the clay. They'll come in the dark to the warm turf, from the coal sack and the sea surf. And you, my love, can breathe a prayer for the waking dead that's gathered there. But ere it comes to the break of day, tread softly or they'll slip away. When morning comes, you'll rise from bed and find in the hearth the turf still red. And creepy tongs, stool and chair be all the way you left them there. But you'll draw the blind with a touch of fear, for you'll know in your heart there are strangers here.
Leave the cafe and we head back to the car. A fire engine goes by and I point it out to this little creature who has no idea what I'm saying. I ask her if she'd like to go home and help me put some seeds out for the birds, and I answer for her. Yes, Daddy, let's. And maybe Mr. Robin and Mr. and Mrs. Blackbird will be there waiting for us. I am complete. I can do anything. I knew what love was, and yet I hadn't a clue. This tiny baby I lift into the car has taught me more in 4 weeks than I have learned in all the years that came before. I will try to teach her the few things I know. I will advise her and guide her. I will comfort her when she is sad and sit with her when she is unwell. I will tell her jokes and listen to her sing. I will hold her hand and watch her grow, and I will let go of her hand and watch her walk away. She is my first child. I am old to be a first-time father, I know that. I will be 63 when she is 10. If, like me, she leaves home to go to university when she is 18, I will be 71. She has many milestones ahead of her, while mine are dwindling. I hope she's content. I hope she finds a job she loves, and, if she wants, a partner she loves too. Maybe, if I am spared, I will see all this. And maybe, when she's grown into a fine, independent, hard-working, decent young woman, she'll come to me and take my hand in hers again. and I'll throw up on her shoulder, see how she likes it.